answer this: to show forth the glory of my Father who dwells in heaven, my Abba Father God. And how do we do that? By singing his praises and worshiping him with our lives. Because many times we forget we are lights to our worlds, where we live, in our communities. And who receives all glory and honor and praise? But Abba Father God. In and through his Son, us being filled and equipped by with his Ruach, the Spirit of the living God. Praise be to God. So there are times, you know what, we want to be what in our nation? But good citizens, right? There's a balance there. Between becoming a member in God's kingdom and being a good citizen. And at times it appears that they can't coexist, all right? And sometimes the blame's on ourselves, and sometimes the blame's on what? The government. Because when the government overreaches and takes what is God's, then what, you know what stirs up in a believer's heart? Rebellion. But it's amazing. God has established every government where we live. Is a government perfect? Absolutely not, because it is not a theocracy. A theocracy is when Abba, Father God, is sitting on the throne upon every man, woman, and child who exists on this earth. That's going to happen one day in the future. It's called the millennial reign of Messiah. So what do we do in the in-between time? This is one of the things that Yeshua dealt with even in his own lifetime. How does he honor his Father's word in being a member of the kingdom and establishing a kingdom, even a greater revelation of what the kingdom is to be? How are we to conduct ourselves? He's our example. And how to do what is honorable to the state. That's quite a dilemma, is it not? It is. So this is part two of the message, Yeshua's revelation on taxes. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. I won't be sharing today what it says in Luke and Mark, because this is the second half of the message, but we have to begin here. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 15. Then the Perishim, who are the Pharisees, went away, and they put together a plan to trap Yeshua with his own words. You face that in life, right? Your very own words, people would be listening, not listening to see what you had to say, but how they could entrap you. Right? All right? So continuing here. They sent him some of their Talmudim, some of their disciples, and some members of Herod's party. Notice, this isn't the head kohanim that's facing Yeshua toe-to-toe, the high priest. This is not the chief of the Pharisees. This is not the chiefs of the Sanhedrin facing Yeshua. Because you know what? When some subordinate comes and you're dealing with the subordinate, right? Sometimes you get a little off guard. And that's why they sent their well-trained Talmudim, their disciples, to have Yeshua kind of lean back a little bit and have his guard off, right? Because in the verses prior to this, he was going toe-to-toe with the head kohanim. And he was showing him where he was doing things wrong. And you know, in the head kohanim's eyes, it says, who does this guy think he is? I descended from Moshe. Abba, Father God, put me in place as being the head of the spiritual matters of the nation of Israel. And here's somebody from where? Galilee? Who claims to be a prophet? And he's trying to correct me? Who does he think he is? And so this is the trap that they are setting for Yeshua. And you know what? There are times when we are facing decisions where our government, which is always an influx, it changes from time to time. We're not living in the 40s and 50s in the United States, are we? No. Things are different, right? And so, you know what? With everything that we face in our life, God has given us whom? A comforter. The Spirit of the living God who leads us into all truth. And then so instead of reacting immediately, you know what we should do? We should spend time in the presence of the Spirit of the living God and asking him to give us discernment. In this scriptural passage, that's what Yeshua does. It says this, that he did not speak any word of his own authority, but that which was given to him through the Father. He was to reveal the Father to the high priest, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the Jewish people from every status of life. And so let us learn from his example here. So continuing here. They sent to him some of their Talmudim and some of the members of Herod's party. They said, Rabbi, we know that you tell the truth and you really teach what God's way is. You aren't concerned about what other people think about you since you pay no attention to a person's status. So tell us your opinion. Does Torah permit paying taxes to the Roman emperor or not? Yeshua, however, knowing their malicious intent, said, You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Who were they dealing with here? Not only God's representative who was a prophet, but God in human flesh himself, Yeshua, who had all knowledge, all understanding, and he could even read their thoughts. He could hear the conversation going on prior to this Talmudim even coming to him and speaking to him. He knew what was on a person's heart. He can look into the soul of the light of their souls, into their eyes, and he could discern the intent, if they were truly committed or not. He was beyond deception. So continuing here, show me the coin that you used to pay the tax. They brought him a denarius. And Yeshua asked them, whose name and picture are these? The emperors, they replied. Yeshua said to them, give to the emperor what belongs to the emperor and give to Abba, Father God, what belongs to Abba, Father God. And on hearing this, they were amazed and they left him and they went away. So continuing here, Yeshua now gives us his guidance that we must follow his advice as we read the good news, that we may properly deal with the reoccurring issue of Abba, Father God, and the government in which we live in. There are times, you know what it feels like as a believer in Messiah? I have one foot in the kingdom and I have one foot involved in my government, being a good citizen, all right? And scripture warns us at times, you know what, you cannot be what? Dwelling in both places. But you know what? For our witness to be true and honorable, we have to be what? Good citizens, right? If you study history, you'll see that there are many believers through history that stood up at a time when it was to stand and go against what the government was teaching. All right? In England, there was a gentleman. His name was Wilberforce. He was part of the Parliament. And he stood up when no one else would stand up. And he said, we must end slavery in the United Kingdom. That was prior to America's Civil War. And that's something that the Lord impressed upon his heart. And he went that direction, going against everyone else in Parliament. William Wilberforce did that. And you know, I can fill in the lines here and gaps, but I don't need to at this time. That's just one illustration there. So continuing here. Citizenship in the kingdom of Abba, Father God, and at the same time, citizenship in this world. The things that belong to government and the time frame is the latter part of Yeshua's ministry. Those who oppose Yeshua are becoming bolder and bolder. They're now becoming more aggressive. The Pharisees, the Purim, have decided it's time to trap Jesus in his own words, Yeshua in his own words. They choose an unresolvable issue, on how to deal with the foreign occupation, which is Rome. If Yeshua answers a question that one should pay the Roman taxes and humble themselves to their domination, then Yeshua would multiply his enemies and he would lose favor with a more militant faction who are called what? The Zealots. One of Yeshua's own Talmudim, Judah, not the Judah that betrayed him, but there was another Yehuda, Judah, who was a zealot. He came from that faction within the community, all right? And probably disappoint the people because they were fed a daily diet of ultra-natural nationalism and hatred for the Roman oppressors, right? Because they were God's chosen people, what? To be a light to the nations. But what had happened? They had fallen into sin. They had forsaken God. The prophets had spoken to him and calling them back to repentance. And what? They were brought back into the land. The temple was rebuilt, but they were going down the same path. So now Yeshua is asking them. He's revealing to them how to walk therein and to honor Torah. So continuing here. But on the other hand, if Yeshua answers that they should not pay taxes to Rome, Yeshua would be guilty of fomenting revolution. And the Romans would take care of the Yeshua problem for them. All right? There's a prophet from Galilee. The head Kohanim would go and speak. And he would say, you know what? He's stirring up trouble. He proposes that we should stop paying taxes to you. So what are you going to do about it? See? Yeshua now is what? In what appears to be a rock in a hard place. Even if they did not, if they could get Yeshua to say that taxes to the Romans should not be paid, the head Kohanim and some of the elders and the Purim could use that pretense to arrest Yeshua, lock him up, throw away the key, and this would solve their problem. Either him be put to death or put into prison. What happened to Yohanan when he spoke against Herod's marriage to what? His brother's wife. Yohanan, John the Mikvas, the immerser, was what? Placed into prison. And they threw away the key. Continuing. If Yeshua tried to be coy and take the middle ground and or not answer clearly and definitely, they could use that too to damage Yeshua's reputation and turn the more aggressive and more radical groups against Yeshua. In any case, they figured that they had Yeshua caught now in a no-win situation. It was politics as usual, back then as just as it is today. You what? Turn on the news? You'll see one political faction throwing mud at another political faction. You know what? They're both covered in mud. And we're looking at them like, you guys are 3 and 5 years old, and you're supposed to be the ones we voted into office to take care of us? Are you kidding me? So continuing here. So they sent their Talmudim, their disciples, along with the Herodians, the government sympathizers and friends of King Herod, and they laid out their trap for Yeshua. They asked, is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? Of course, there is a double-edged trap here. Is it morally and religiously lawful? They expected the answer to be no. It was socially and legally, in the same sense, Roman law, is that lawful in the land of Israel? And they knew that the answer had to be yes, because what? Rome would then inflict upon them the heavy punishment. So they figured that Yeshua had Yeshua with witnesses. Why? Because were they asking this question? In the temple courts. All right? There are thousands hearing this debate that's going between Yeshua, the head Kohanim. Then they leave, they're silent, and then they send the Talmudim to pose even more questions to set the trap. So continuing here. So they figured that Yeshua had to answer. with witnesses no matter which error that he slid into. But Yeshua perceived their malice and said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me?" Then Yeshua did the unexpected. Have you ever had that time where there's a time when you have to give an answer and you don't know what to say? Your mind becomes racing and your boss is saying, "I need an answer." What do you do? Do as other former and living believers have done. Ask the Spirit of living God. Enter into your prayer closet right then. Allow the Spirit of living God to give you that answer. Continuing. Yeshua asked them for a coin, which they would pay the poll tax. And when they produced it, a denarius, Yeshua asked them, "Whose name and picture are these?" In other words, whose coin does this belong to? And whose issues this money? Whose authority was this money issued? Notice this, because sometimes we miss this in our Western society thoughts. There was coinage that could only be used in the temple, all right? When you brought your offerings to the temple, you could not bring a denarius. Why? Because it had an image of what? The Roman emperor who believed himself to be a god, all right? And so you would not take what you's profane and then offer it into God's temple, all right? So what you had to do is you had to go to the money changers who were more than willing there. Remember, those are the guys that Yeshua chased out along those who were selling all those sacrificial animals, all right? And you had to get your currency changed, okay? But at an exorbitant sum, all right? So you're being robbed by even walking and serving the Lord and being righteous. See the game that's going on here? So continuing here. So Yeshua answered the question by implying that there are things that were properly under the regulation and possession of the government and things that were not. Yeshua also suggested by his answer that the Purushim, the Pharisees, were guilty of confusing what belonged to Abba, Father God, and what belonged to the state Rome. And you can modernize that today, right? In your personal life, what belongs to the Abba, Father God, and what belongs to the government that he's ordained that you live underneath that authority? Okay? So continuing here. And apparently they were giving neither one the appropriate things. It was out of balance what they were doing here. They were not giving the government its due, and they were withholding from Abba, Father God, which truly belongs to him. So the question is, which are the things that belong to the government? Logically and necessarily, we then need also to consider what things that are Abba, Father God's. First of all, we must recognize that everything is Adonai's. If you're here at the beginning of the service, I read from Tehillim, which is Psalms 24, and it says this: "The earth is Adonai's with all that is in it, the world and those who live there. For he sets the foundations, the seas, and establishes all the rivers." It belongs to God anyway. Since Abba, Father God, has created governments, and all authority which government exercises is from Abba, Father God, generally the things that are the government are what the government says they are, right? Like I mentioned earlier, in the 40s and 50s, the government required certain different things. But now, living now in the time of 2017, it's a total different thing that the government asks for us. The things that are the government ultimately change throughout time. As government changes, so does it demands and controls. And some of you who have lived under oppressive governments know that things can change in a heartbeat, in a whim of a dictator or a president. In our nation, we have a great deal of freedoms. We acknowledge as society the right to certain freedoms that people in time of Yeshua, for example, did not enjoy. The Roman government was very, very oppressive. They did not tolerate free speech. If you spoke against Caesar, you were on your way to death, because you were speaking against not only their leader, but their God. That's what's going to be in the latter days. when the Antichrist and the false prophet arise, and we become what? One world governments and one world religion. It's going to happen. The scriptures speak of these. So how are we going to conduct ourselves in those days? Let's continue here. For these things we owe to Abba Father God is genuine heartfelt appreciation and great thanksgiving, an unwavering trust that we should love Abba Father God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. Everything we possess belongs to Him, and we want to use it for the proclaiming and the building of His kingdom. Because just think about this. The things He gives us for a time, small period of time, and we invest it in building His kingdom. I'm not going to take an offering now, all right? That's not in my thoughts at all. But anything you invest, you will receive dividends for all eternity. Because you know what? This earth is not our home. We are sojourners, just like our father Abraham, who was looking for what? A city that was built by the very hands of God. So while we're here on this short span of life, we're to be what? Good citizens, proclaiming the good news to everyone. So continuing here. We sin against Abba Father God, and by our sins we deserve to be wiped out from the face of the earth and forgotten by Abba Father God as a bad investment. That's a heavy word. His word even says that that's what we deserve, but Abba, Father God, does not discard us. He loves us. He does not destroy us. He does not wipe us away, but He has redeemed us and He has rescued us. When we have set ourselves as enemies against Him, remember your former life as being a non-believer? He sent His Son Yeshua to face our sins and die our death, and receive on the execution stake all that our sins merit. But He gave us a Redeemer. Abba, Father God, has taken our sins out of the way by punishing them in the body of Yeshua, by His suffering, by His pain, by His death on the execution stake. He has demonstrated that our sins are forgiven by the raising up of Yeshua from the dead. Now, Abba, Father God, declares through the preaching of His word that anyone who knows what He has accomplished in Yeshua, our Messiah, and trusts in Him for what He promises because Yeshua, our Messiah, has forgiveness of sins for all those who will repent and receive eternal life. And you know when that starts? Right now. We owe Abba, Father God, thanks and praise to serve Him and worship Him with holy lives and give ourselves freely to our neighbors for Him. The things that are Abba, Father God's are what? Our intellects, our wills, our affections, our values. And the rest belong to the government. For we are to pay taxes cheerfully, for the government is simply a servant of Abba, Father God, for the purpose of social order. We are to obey the laws, even ones at times that we do not agree with. Because the state exercises Abba Father God's own authority, we owe Abba Father God obedience. When we give Abba Father God what is Abba Father God's, we end up being good citizens, because serving our neighbor by good citizenship is the will of Abba Father God. It belongs to the things of Abba, Father God, which we should give Him. We owe to the government good citizenship, for when we discard the government, we discard Abba, Father God. When we disobey the government, we disobey Abba, Father God. When we rebel against the government, we're rebelling against Abba, Father God Himself. With a single caveat. You know what that words mean, doesn't it? There's here, an exemption. Here, the exemption. The caveat is that when the government commands us to do what Abba, Father, God forbids us to do. Do you hear that? Or commands us to do what Abba, Father, God's commands us to do, to stop doing that. Then we must recognize that the government itself has now rebelled against Abba, Father God, and has no authority, and that we can no longer continue to obey that government. Abba, Father God, or government, it's your choice right there. And at that time, the Spirit of the living God will give you discernment. What path that you're to go on, all right? Because ultimately, what is our heart's desire? To honor Abba, Father God, with every aspect of our lives. Concluding very quickly. But even when we disregard the government for the sake of faithfulness to Abba, Father God's sake, for the sake of conscience, we owe it to Abba, Father God, to endure people not agreeing with us, persecution, imprisonment, all right? Standing for truth costs us in terms of pain or social pressure or fines or prison or even death. I think Brother Tim brought out a very, very good point during his messianic moment, and that is this. What the government that time, which was what? A Roman government that was doing evil against one of God's good citizens, both in the kingdom of Abba, Father God, and also the Roman government. He was a good citizen. They had recently boiled him in oil. I'm speaking of John. Okay? He was recovering from that. So they sent him to exile. Why? Because he was bringing rebellion. What kind of rebellion? He's building the kingdom of Abba, Father God. And so they sent him to the Isle of Patmos. So what the Roman government and Caesar himself decided to do was punish Yohanan, John. And what the government chose to punish him, God turned into what? A sabbatical. And just think about this. If Yohanan, John was not sent on that sabbatical, the book of Revelation, which would have come at a different time, through a different person, how much enriched both you and I and the body of believers have been enriched by Yohanan's sabbatical. But if you were to see him face to face, anyone who has been boiled in oil, he would be so terribly disfigured, but he was willing to pay that price and stand up against the government in righteous, holy living, being both a good citizen of his local government and also a good citizen of God's kingdom. All right? And so with that, this message ends. Okay? So we should do what in everything? Every decision in life, we should ask the Spirit of the living God to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we'll be what? Both a good citizen in the kingdom of Abba, Father God, and a good citizen in our governments. That our light will shine even brighter than it's ever been before. And we'll draw all men to the presence of Abba, Father God. If we lift up Yeshua, the scripture says this, he will draw all peoples unto him. It's not about you or I, it's about him. Amen? Amen. Shabbat shalom.